I want to start this episode by sending my deepest condolences to the family of Johnny Youngblood. Johnny was on my podcast just a few weeks ago. Great guy, very inspiring. He's been fighting his whole life, and unfortunately, he had to give up in the fight this week. He leaves behind a young child and a wife here in the Czech Republic and an extended family in the US. Johnny was a rapper. He was a father. He was a fighter. But first and foremost, a great person. Really, really nice guy. I really hope that we could have met each other more and hang out more. I wanted to see him perform live. He had some great music. But yeah, unfortunately, this is what happened. And my best wishes to all of your people, Johnny. And I see you on the other side.
Change my mind, I'll look on the world as tinted with rose-colored glasses. The misery of fists full of pistol, change thoughts to roses, to thistles. When what I once knew and what I now know collide like two worlds fighting for the same space. That's fighting for the same space, fighting for the same space.
Yeah, talking to Lenka Lorien, interesting. She has multiple things that she does, but they're all somehow connected through spirituality or pureness or, I don't know, some sort of a higher meaning. Her background is interesting. She had some trauma in the womb when she was in her mom's belly, and that she then worked on later, and she does a lot of that stuff today. She's helping people dealing with trauma, birth trauma, and stuff like that. She uses cranial sacral therapy, CST, which is kind of a body work that, I don't know, get the flow in the body right so that it can heal itself. But she was in Jehovah's Witness for a few years, went to London, done a little bit of this and that, but yeah, has spent her last probably like 10 years being a healer or something like that. Very interesting talk, and I learned a lot of new stuff on this one, so enjoy it, guys. And the sponsors, the Oat Bar in Karlín, Prague, by Krizikova, open 8:30 to 3 o'clock on Monday to Thursday, and Friday from 8:30 to 1:30, same on Saturdays. Pickup, delivery, super good food, healthy stuff, party at every bite. And Alfred Jobs, Alfred Ossiset, said, available in English, Czech and Slovak, finds your dream job. You don't really need to search anymore. You just tell Alfred once what you want, and he will take care of it for you from that moment. So check this out, and yeah, cool. On the bunker today, I have Lenka Lorien. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah, welcome to my bunker, Lenka. How are you?
Very good. Yeah? Thank you.
Somebody told me I should talk to you, and I started checking you out a little bit on Facebook, and then we got in touch, and the more I saw of you, I realized that you have many, many different layers and different sides to you, but they're all somehow either healing or spiritual somehow.
That's it.
What are you?
So professionally right now, I'm a therapist. I'm a craniosacral therapist and specialize also on trauma, and I'm a body worker. But my background actually is art. So I was graphic designer for 10 years and I have art school. I studied like fine art in secondary school.
Okay. So you today you would define yourself as a therapist, a healer.
Healer and therapist. Mm-hmm. But also I wanted to do travel agency just before COVID because I have very big passion for traveling and hiking and yoga. So I wanted to create my own agency.
But that's on hold for now.
Exactly, unfortunately.
I was actually, it was interesting because when I started asking you, okay, where can I see more about you? I got like 6 web pages and different things. And it was interesting because, and it is, and we'll talk about that more, more about some of it and less about other things. But it was kind of like multiple different faces of the same person, but still somehow all of it made sense. And the more that I know about you, that made more sense. But anyway, so we are here in Prague. You're born here in the Czech Republic.
Yes, that's right. I was born in south of Czech Republic, a place called České Budějovice. Mm. It's close to Austrian border and famous with Budvar beer.
Yeah.
And I was just born maybe 20 kilometers close, like south of České Budějovice, small town.
Mm.
I was actually born in České Budějovice, but I grew up until
in a small town, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like beautiful countryside called Novohradské hory.
Mm. Do they make wine there or?
No, it's just beer tradition in České Budějovice, but there is agriculture, big agriculture, so they grow some product and like animals, obviously, and a lot of farmers. And but it was actually close place in Iron Curtain, so a lot of places were not available for public in a communist time, so it's a little bit on outskirts, but very beautiful, like mountains.
Mm. And what kind of family are you from? How was the family?
So my grandparents were farmers, so I grew up in my granny house. We have a lot of animals. And my mother came from countryside, so they grow vegetables, they have animals, they have a bee. My grandfather was big fan of how to look after like bees. Mm. And
making honey?
Honey, exactly. Like he had like lot of bees and big orchard. And so it was very nice childhood for me. And other grandfathers and granny, they were like just 3 kilometers from this village. And my father, he was engineer, but he did also, he worked for famous Czech travel agency, ČEDOK. So I used to go with him for a lot of trips around like communist countries. And
what time is this roughly? I mean, what years are these?
So I was born 1972. So, you know, I was like communist child.
Yeah.
And my mother, she was like, she had like 3 daughters. So I have like 2 older sister twins. And she was like secretary, but like housewife. So they're like typical Czech communist family. And we moved when I was 4 in Prague, when my father got like a company flat because everybody in communist time.
Yeah, they took care of them.
Exactly. Oh. So we moved back to Prague.
Okay. And but you told me that there was, you know, how your childhood, your parents divorced and there was some trauma as well? Or?
Yes. I think in communist time, a lot of family, they were not happy. And as I see also around my friends and client, a lot of people have a trauma. We didn't talk so much about like feeling.
Mm.
But it was, I discovered later on like how much trauma happened because my mother lost her brother. He committed suicide when I was in her belly, like in the womb, 4 months. And I didn't know like consciously, but I discovered like it's influenced also me as a baby. Mm. And now I'm working also with birth trauma and prenatal trauma. So I think it moved me like to understand like importance of trauma. But also my father was very absent in the family. He was a little bit like more autistic. He's very clever, intelligent, and he loves reading and writing. But he's a little bit emotionally like flat. So they divorced when I was 10. My sister were already married. And my mother like brought like second partner and later on husband. And it was kind of a little bit traumatic because she started to feel differently and a little bit like I felt rejected like.
By him then or?
By my mother, because she, I think she was very traumatized already with what happened in my family. And with my father, she didn't got great support of him, like a husband, you know, because he was kind of emotionally distanced, but also because of his trauma with his mother and father, they hit him and, you know, so it's a lot of trauma in my family.
Yeah, so you think that the reason why your father was what he was that because there had been some issues with his family, his parents?
Yeah. I had like also some, you know, like feeling about him, like he didn't get love from his mother. So he was because, and then he went to his intellectual world rather than to the feeling.
Emotional,
because
yeah.
He felt safe, like around information. He's amazing. Like now he's like 18 nearly and he's able to write a lot of article and he's very bright, but emotionally there is something missing. Mm-hmm. I think it's called Asperger's syndrome.
Asperger?
Uh-huh, yeah. But no. He doesn't know, like he has it probably, but he's very inspirative person, but emotionally he wasn't able so much involved in family.
And this so you said that your mother's brother, he committed suicide while she was carrying you and that you were traumatized by it. I'm just curious, I mean, how did you know that as a child? Or did you feel it somehow as a child?
I didn't feel it. My mother told me later on because, as I said, we were not used to discuss this thing like personally. Mm. In my family about feeling, it was more like how we are good at school or we have a good like dress or
more
like
practical
food, practical way. But it came later on in some ayahuasca session. I came deep in the feeling how I felt like a baby in the womb, and I felt very discomfortably with her sadness and processing of loss of her like brother which she loved. So I realized like how important actually it's connection with baby and mother and feeling safe and loved.
But how, so when you discovered that, like through the ayahuasca treatment or let's say experience, how did you then see your childhood differently?
I think I had a trauma. I felt already like many years, even like around 20, I felt very lonely and there is a pattern of rejection, like not connection. And it was also confirmed when my mother got second husband and they just emotionally separated and I felt very lonely. And around 14, 15 years old when I did secondary school. I had a feeling I'm missing something. There is a no connection. There is emotional absence. I didn't understand.
There was something somehow.
Something missing. Yeah. And I felt kind of, I was searching for what is sense of life and I'm not feeling happy. But I couldn't put it in name. And my mother told me later on, because I did a lot of research, like there was this trauma. Later on, my granny got schizophrenia because its impact, the death, had an impact on her.
Yeah.
So I did like little research, which she won't tell me naturally. And it's confirmed in this psychedelic session, like there is a trauma, actually. But I got through my own healing and research also when I did cranio. So, yeah.
And how... So you felt like disconnected somehow and you but you didn't really know exactly what it was or how it, but you knew that something was wrong, let's say. And how did that affect you in school and with mm-hmm. friends and stuff like that? Did you feel it somehow there or mm-hmm. did you do good in school?
Yeah, when I was in primary school up to 14, I felt quite happy because I was very playful, creative. You know, I was going to a lot of art classes because my mother had an artistic tendency and my father took a lot of photos. So he's also artistic and she did a lot of sewing. Dresses. So I felt very happy, like creative, you know, because I have, she was present. But later on, when I did secondary school, which was art school, and she separated, I start to feel like disconnected and depressed.
Mm.
And then I was influenced, you know, I was always searching sense of life and this age. I was reading a lot of philosophical books. I came to some religion and I stayed there like 4 years. It was still communist time. It was on edge of Velvet Revolution. And because I wasn't
happy. That's in 88, 89.
Yes, because I wasn't happy and I met some people on the street and they started to talk to me. And later on, I discovered they belong to Jehovah's Witnesses, which was Christian religion or sect.
So you're there like 16?
I was 16, yeah. 16 and I stayed until 20. And firstly, it gave me feeling I belong to somebody because they have time, they talk to me. They study Bible with me, and I was craving for like connection,
and belonging to some group or something.
Exactly, but I have like friends at school, but because of they have a different view on, for example, birthday, they didn't celebrate birthday, they didn't celebrate Christmas. I couldn't do something. I start to be separated from my friends at school, which was quite difficult for me. So they look at me like I'm a little bit strange, same in the family. But all this sex talk, like we are not part of the world. Like all
you separate from the rest of the community or the society. Yes. But I'm just curious with you know, Jehovah's Witnesses, like, because under communism, and not just here in the Czech Republic, but in general, the kind of the post-communist countries, religions was very kind of low prioritized and almost banned or let's say ignored and not tolerated in some way because it threatened the authority of the state. How was Jehovah's Witness able to, I mean, how were they not as religious then, or was it a different...
They did a lot of things illegal, so it was like secret gathering. So even like yoga, which I didn't do this time, but like people have to gather like secretly in the flats, you know, and sometimes they have even secret police like inside in the members. So yeah, so it was all like kind of underground illegal activity.
And how does it work? Because, you know, I don't... Yeah, actually, I know I have a friend who went into a sect like this and he was in it for a few years. He has never really told me how it worked, but and you're there for 4 years. So how does it actually work? I mean, what does it mean to be in a sect? I mean, do you have some obligations or is there something that they expect from you or...
Yeah. So later on, I realized like it was a lot of brainwashing. Started with... They always give you something in the beginning. So started like they give you like welcoming environment. But later on, they start to put restriction and you have to, for example, study Bible, going to some gathering. So most of my free time I spent studying these materials, Bible. They have a like journal, watching tower. You have to study every week. I have to convince or baptize other people, you know, we have
recruit, find other people.
Yeah,
to come,
we had a, like, for example, some street, and we have to go from flat too flat. It wasn't forbidden this time. Now mm-hmm. they can stand just outside of the metro. And so basically going in this routine when you go 4 times a week in the service or like study Bible get you basically brainwashed. And mm-hmm. then you have a fear all world around you. It's kind of satanic or like they will all be destroyed because they talk about Armageddon, which is end of the world, you know, and this is whole point, like fear and separation from other society because they talk other world, it's evil, there is alcohol, drugs, unhappiness, but they create very, very close society and if you separate, they will basically stop even say hello to you and talk mm-hmm. to you.
So in some way you get dependent on them because you feel welcomed and you, and maybe like in your case you were lacking this connection.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they kind of have you in, then they kind of threaten you. Well, if you don't do what we want you to do, then we'll push you out and then you're alone again.
Yes, yes. And there were cases like, I don't know, we call each other sister and brothers and mm-hmm. like one girl, like she was maybe 17, 18, she had like sex and they nearly separated her, you know, she uh-huh. had to like say, I'm sorry, like I, you know, it was like kind of punishment and nobody want to be executed because it's mean you won't have any family, you won't have any. Because
this is your only tribe in a way.
Exactly. So you are like kind of scared go outside in out of this community because it's just scary and not welcoming and you are in some bubble. So,
but it's in some way it's the same brainwash as with the communism because in communism they were brainwashing people, telling them that everything that is in America, everything that's in Germany, everything that is. You know, the capitalists are so bad and it's horrible. And if we let you go there, it's all going to be bad, you know?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It's happening in all level, even some trading, you know, like trading sect, you know, like some multi-level or...
There's pyramid scams and...
Yes, exactly.
Herbalife and all this stuff.
Yes.
And, but I'm just... but how does it work when you're in this... They provide you apartment, food, or
no, you have to pay for yourself, but you just live your normal life, but you're going to gathering.
Okay. Yeah. And then you have these duties to recruit people.
Yeah.
And you pay tax for them or you pay them something or you
I think it was some voluntary contribution, but I realized like later on it's actually working as a real estate agency because some people, for example, contribute for houses and they build some like room for gathering and they collect money from people because they say it's important to gather and later on they sell it. And so that's
they
I know
making money out of it.
Yes, I know from some member friends who was there like 30 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's really interesting. And you said that there was this girl that had sex. I mean, how does this work? If you are part of this, do you have a relationship? If you want to have a relationship, it's with someone else within the...
You need to get married.
Okay. And you have to stay a virgin until you get married?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Ideally, yeah.
Okay. And what about the... Like, I'm curious. Like, your family, like your mom. I mean, I guess you and your father and your grandparents... what did they think? Like the people who are on the outside and they look at you, did they try and talk to you about it or?
I think because it was a very difficult family situation at home. Mm. My mother, she didn't like it because I didn't celebrate, for example, birthday. I separate a little bit from family. Then I did some microbiotic diet because somebody from like same religion did it also. So I was kind of extreme and she didn't like it, but she couldn't provide me this time like security. So she was very happy like when I left, you know. Mm. I think she was big, it was big relief. But
when you left the sect?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was like 20 and I left, yeah.
Mm. And how was that process? Was that easy? Was it easy to leave?
It wasn't easy, but I had some friends inside this religion who, and these people didn't like, they were not agree about some stuff or what they say, and they doubt it, basically, because there is some people in New York, and they leading like whole this society. It's nothing to do with God or, you know, spiritual.
Yeah, it's just powerful people.
And like these people, friends, they doubt it, basically, what they are writing. So people start to leave, like my close friends, they start to leave. So it gave me courage also to do it. I won't be able to do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
So we left and they just stopped talking to us, and, you know, we were like black sheep, and I start completely from the beginning, like age of 20, you know.
And so you say that they ignore you, or they, you know, you're the black sheep because you're leaving, but do they try and convince you to stay? I mean, is there some intervention or something, or how?
In the rules, it's if somebody leave, they have to stop talking to them. Mm-hmm. But they can call maybe once a year and try to ask
convince them to come back.
But they haven't done with me, and, you know, I were not interested.
Mm-hmm.
But I have already some friends, they left. So, you know, I wasn't alone, and I started to build like new friends. But I had this issue because of them, I didn't go to university because they didn't support like education program. Mm. And they say it will be end of the world. So I didn't do university degree, which I wanted study, like illustration or puppets, like puppets. And I tried it later on, but doing art exam, it was quite a long run. To do it. So I just have to skip it. But later on I felt, it's shame. Like, you know, I was already out of the house working, and it was quite difficult to like study.
Mm. Can you get a little bit closer to the microphone? Yeah, that's good. Because I just lose you a little bit here. But and you're allowed to curse. If you want to curse, you can curse all you want. So you leave that the Jehovah's Witnesses, and then you went into graphic design and you studied that, right?
Mm-hmm. Because I did art school, it wasn't easy to make living with just fine art. So and more like practical seems to do things around media. So I started to learn graphic program. Mm-hmm. Starting Corel and Adobe Photoshop, Illustrator and Quark. Mm. And I end up in some advertisement and graphic design studio over 10 years.
Mm-hmm. And this you could not have done if you would have stayed with the Witnesses. I mean, they would not have approved of this direction, that you would study something like this and they didn't approve of education like this, right?
They didn't motivate people to do university because they believe it will be very soon end of the world, and we have to convince as many people
time is working against you. You don't have time for school because you need to save the world.
Yes, it was an important focus, and it was lot of Jehovah Witnesses who didn't do university and they are still like very intelligent people.
Mm. So you spent 10 years with graphic design, working in agencies and different things like that, right?
Yes.
But that wasn't satisfying you somehow or?
Yes, I felt I didn't know so much what to do else because I didn't do this university, and I tried to compensate some passion like dance. I was going maybe 4 times a week to dance, taking like ballet and like contact improvisation and contemporary dance, and that was my realization. Plus I did some alternative courses. I started to do meditation, some breath work, and I did a lot of research in the book about spirituality and meditation. So this time I also started being a little bit alternative.
So you kind of do that on the side when you're still on the graphic design path. You're kind of investigating this field.
Yes, yes,
more.
Yes.
And that brings you eventually, you went to, you stop the graphic designs and you go to England, right?
Yes, then I felt like I can't just move forward because I changed a lot of companies and like it just didn't give me satisfaction, create some printing adverts or like thinking about idea about advertised product. So I felt I need to do some change. And also I had a feeling I don't speak English because I didn't have a good English teacher at school. We had a Russian in communist time and I had like 4 years French. So I spoke more French. And then I decided to go to London and spend some years there. And then I stuck there for 8 years. And I was in England and then I later on I came across some therapeutic courses and it was big change in sense of profession for me.
And that's where, you know, I mean, now that kind of brings us to what you are today in a way, that that's the, I mean, you're doing all these healing therapies. And part of that is this, can you say the word cranium?
Craniosacral therapy, okay.
Yeah. So which I call CST. You found that in England, right? That's where you get to know that.
Yes. So I had already friends here in Czech who did dance, like contact improvisation, and it's like beautiful dance when you use body weight and body touch and, you know, I always loved touch and touching people and herbs and healing method. But in England, I met some people who've been in also involved like therapeutically in craniosacral therapy. So for me, it was very unusual name for something. But then I discovered like, what is it? And it's brought me in this craniosacral therapy and studied like trauma therapy and different kind of body work. I did massage training and Thai massage and Kundalini yoga, more to the focusing what I really want to do and focusing on touch and healing of the myself and other people.
Well, how old are you when you go to England?
I was around 30.
Okay. And you, so if we talk about this cranial sacral therapy specifically, if we kind of zoom in on that a little bit. So what exactly is that? I mean, because, you know, people who are listening might not know.
Okay. So cranial means head. We have a cranial bones, a lot of bones in the head. And sacrum, it's the last bone on the spine. Before
that connects the...
Connect the brain and pelvis. And between this, we have a spinal cord. And inside the spinal cord, there is a cerebrospinal fluid, which surrounds also our brain. And we're working, so it's craniosacral therapy. Originally, it came from osteopathic treatment, like doctor osteopath. It's something like a chiropractor. And they're working with bones. So they, if you have like some, I don't know, like problem with spine, vertebra, or like pelvis, rotate pelvis, they put with mechanical things, they put pelvis or like spine or head in the right position. And craniosacral therapy is part of the osteopathic treatment. It's they also teach student in university. But we work more with energy. We try to feel the fluid of the cerebrospinal fluid because we believe there is a nature rhythm in the body and energy. Everybody has energy. When we have a embryo will grow because of this nature power. We call it breath of life. And yoga, they call it prana, or like in Chinese medicine, they call it qi. So it's primary force. And basically in the healing, we try to connect with this healing power of the body and try to encourage the healing power to heal us or like put bones or like structure in the right position.
So basically unblocking that fluid so that the fluid can flow better and then the body can heal itself.
Exactly. But it's connecting with bones because each bone has some movement, small movement. And when we get this primary force on service, the bones getting in the right position, the cells open up, our nervous system getting more relaxed, so we're going in parasympathetic mode, like calm, safe place, and the body start to heal. Just body needs space for healing.
When I was reading about this, I could see that there is some criticism of this. I mean, there are people that claim that, I mean, let's keep it clear that this is a very non-invasive treatment. There are no medicine involved, there's no injections, there's no cutting anything or any equipment use. It's purely energy based and moving the bones or getting the bones in the right position, right? So it's interesting that one of the first things that I found when I was, googling this and doing a little bit of reading was that people were saying, well, there is no research, there is no clinical trials, there is this and that and the other. And on the same page, those people were actually saying you should just take pills. I'm very curious about why do you think that this is? Why, when some therapeutical method like this is possible, why are there always people that stand up and say it's bogus, it's fake, it's
because for people it's much easier to take the pills, and I think it's how whole society it's lead to take. If you have a headache, it's better take pill. If you have a depression, you have to take antidepressant, but be killing things. Sometimes we have to process pain and sadness and frustration and even pain. So it's just it's not solution these pills. And for many people, they don't want basically work with themselves, and this is how they are brought up or narrow-minded. But I can see there is also a lot of people alternative, especially now in Czech Republic, who go to Chinese doctor for acupuncture, and it's massively changed also view of acupuncture now. It's even, I think it was in some hospital, and because traditional method of the taking pills, they don't work. So people
are seeing that now.
Yeah. So people go to some alternative stuffs, and I think massively it started in Czech Republic, a lot of healing method, but some are even a little bit fake, and sometimes it's not easy to recognize good quality because people go for weekend courses and they call themselves Reiki specialist.
But I think that's maybe also one of the criticism that a lot of these alternative methods get, is that the person who is conducting them hasn't gone through 8 years of university or something like that, because we have decided that that's the only measurement of qualification, is some sort of mass production of doctors or medical experts or pharmaceutical experts. But I think it's interesting because you're saying that here in the Czech Republic it's growing, this kind of alternative methods, and I mean I can see that myself, being born in Iceland. I have had medical service in Iceland, then I lived in Denmark. I have had medical service in Denmark, and then I have lived here. And maybe I'm just lucky, but here in the Czech Republic, it's the first time that I actually have a doctor that doesn't want to give me pills. And she, when I come there, it doesn't really matter what's wrong with me. She just starts by, we need to check your blood. We need to find out what's wrong with you. Mm-hmm. I mean, as long as it's not a cold or a flu or something like that. But if there is something wrong, she just immediately starts with, okay, let's try and find the root of this. And then comes the homeopathic pills and this stuff. And I admit it, in the beginning, I was like, what the fuck is this, you know? What this witch is, you know, trying to make me more sick. And then she just says, you know, if you don't feel better after a week, then I might consider giving you something, you know, antibiotics or whatever, if there is something like that. And I actually started to appreciate this because my health is actually better after I moved here than it was before I moved here, because I think I just became more conscious of these things.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm very impressed with this, and I agree with what you say. I can see it here that there is more and more openness to this, which, of course, it makes sense because, I mean, these are the things that kept humans alive for hundreds of thousands of years. It was not aspirins and it was not antibiotics. It was this these methods. I mean, obviously people lived shorter and some people died from an infection, which was horrible, but this is what we had. So you can't say now none of it works, because actually a lot of it worked.
I think in our philosophy, we believe like body is strong to heal itself, you know, so you don't have to add anything additional. Even like, I'm not completely against antibiotic, but I think they must be used in really bad cases, you know, and they work immediately. But there is a massive disuse, for example, antidepressant, like you have a depression or you're feeling sad, so they give you some like quick help, but they don't let you like process sadness, and it kills the pain. And when the pain, it's not processed, like you don't cry, you don't have a opportunity to process. So it's basically not solution.
Yeah, I always find it interesting when people are against these alternative methods, because there is, for me, it's zero risk. What do I have to lose? I have nothing to lose to have someone check my, to go to a chiropractor or go to acupuncture or something like that. It's a much better thing than to get a foreign substance into my body and whatever. But anyway, also another thing that I learned about this when I was reading up on it was that it's a lot of people claim that this method, this what is called cranial sacral therapy, I'm really bad at this, that is better for children, that it somehow works best with children.
Yeah. So I work also with birth trauma and with a lot of like a newborn baby up to maybe 1 year, like, but you can work any age with cranial. And actually with traumatic birth as a cesarean, or there is a separation from mother, or like a lot of traumatic birth, there is a very difficult find a way how to heal it, because mother, it's usually tired. She has a like crying baby, lot of...
Where's the father?
Father is there, but it's primary connection with mother and baby, you know, like in first months. Yeah, like father, it's his function, it support mother. Yeah, but usually it's mother who breastfeed and waking up in the middle of night. So it's like lack of the sleep. And there is like very little method in, even in Czech Republic, there is like Vojtova metoda. And there is not so much think how to cure this trauma. And in cranial sacral therapy, even we work suppression of the head, you know, because birth canal sometimes it's very narrow, and there is a children can have a little bit damage, some neck, or experience some traumatizing thing on the head. So, but mainly it's what I'm dealing, it's separation, like bonding issue, because hospital, they approach to mother like they want to save life, but they don't look at the bonding.
But so who comes to you? I mean, like how does a mother or a family, father and a mom, how do they know that they need your help? Like, do you know what I mean? How do they know that there was possibly a birth trauma? I mean, because obviously the child is too young to say anything.
They usually know because they have a crying baby at home who experience a lot of crying and unhappiness. You know, if you have a like not traumatized baby, it will have a cry when it's like hungry or like needs something like warm.
So what you're saying is that babies that are they should not cry when they're hungry.
They will cry, but if it's extreme crying, like
beyond
they,
what is normal.
Yeah, like for example, like half of day, or like they will cry many hours. Obviously, mother feel it's something not right, and mm-hmm. she knows herself. Like she's already also damaged, traumatized, so they know themselves.
Uh-huh. Because then I definitely have a traumatized neighbor child. Mm-hmm. It's crying all the fucking time.
That must be annoying. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I feel bad for the parents, you know, because it must be difficult when you have your child crying all the time and you can't comfort it somehow. Mm.
But you ask me like, who is coming for therapy? Yeah. They are adults, and they are like also like mother with baby, because I have also this specialization. But also I'm working with trauma, like trauma. I study like somatic experiencing trauma therapy, which is based on Peter Levine research, which is American biologist. And he observed how animals behave, and we have nervous system. And in danger, as an attack or like some discomfort, we go in fight and flight.
Yeah.
And if we can't experience this process, like, for example, somebody try to attack me or like hurt me and I can't run, I get freeze or I would dissociate. And that's survival mechanism. Mm. So I'm also working with this technique, which are like verbal and focusing on body sensation. And we try to release this trauma from the body.
But wait, so how is that then connected to the cranial therapy somehow? I mean, or does it come as a...
Craniosacral therapy, it's touching therapy. So I work a client lying on the table and I'm touching them, and it's mostly in quiet, and they experience like nice energy and warmth and kind of calm feeling and healing in the body. But with somatic experiencing, trauma therapy, we work like face to face. We do maybe some movement and we talk. So we oriented on resources, that mean like positive experiences in the life. And we try to release some tension in the body, like this fight, flight, feeling safe. There is like lot of technique. But it's working verbally, but we always focusing on the body. Mm-hmm. In classical psychotherapy, you're focusing on talk and analyzing, but in somatic experiencing, you process things in the body. Always you ask.
The sensation that you have.
Because all this memory, they are stuck in the body. Mm-hmm. You know, even we were baby and we didn't have a language, we still have this cells memory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there are some big garbage bag somewhere inside us where we have put all this stuff.
Yeah, that's also book Body Remember. And always it's in the body.
When I'm just curious a little bit about when you talk about when so for example with birth trauma and a mother brings a I don't know, like a 6 month old child. So if you do the cranial sacral therapy, then it's about touching the head or the neck and this area primarily, or
like first I'm talking with them about like history of the pregnancy and birth, and then I am starting to touch them. For example, she can breastfeed. I always work with both of them, not only with baby, because they are one unit in certain age. So sometimes like you can even work on the mother, like and support mother, and then baby will get better. But like this is like compound, like things which influence each other. So in the therapy, for example, she can breastfeed them or baby, and I put my hand on the baby head and maybe one hand on like mother like pelvis. So it's go, they can lie or they can sit, you know, and I'm talking them, and they even she talk and she has a space talk about difficult birth. It's means somebody is there listening to her, and she can talk about her emotional stuff and process it. And that's main problem with bad birth, because usually mother, they don't have a time, they are under massive pressure, routine completely change and like this. And sometimes also I ask if she has a babysitting, for example, husband, like they go with baby outside, and I can give her cranio and like this. But usually it's take maybe few visits. Yeah. You need to come like a few times. Yes.
And then I mean, I had like a list of things that are people are using to heal this. I mean, migraines, constipation even, and irritable bowel syndrome, which is constant diarrhea. So it's kind of, you can either start shitting or stop shitting. It's, and disturbed sleep cycles, sinus infections, neck pain, trauma recovery, as you mentioned, difficult pregnancies. I mean, it seems to be like a lot of these things seem to be mentally somehow related. I mean,
yeah. Each illness like relating to emotion, like even it's strange, like seems strange. Even headache sometimes has a background in like bad position of the neck or also stress, you know. So we always need to go a little bit to emotion. Yeah. So for example, like I was treating now like a man who has tinnitus, which is you hear something in
his
your
ear,
ears.
It's like a tone, like a
And it's very irritating. Like he tried a lot of method, but we work like releasing the muscle. But then I'm working a lot of time on the head and releasing tension of the bones.
Mm-hmm.
But the core of the problem was also stress because he stressed himself at work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know exactly the roots, but it's sometimes combination. And we came like he had very strict father who didn't appreciate him and didn't give him so much love. And we came during the session, we sat after the session and talk about father relationship, and he started to cry, and you know, we had a like hug and you know, released and allowed him even admit like he can come to his father and talk about what he didn't experience like a child. So it's like whole complex. I'm looking at the person even with emotional side, not just like there is something bad in his ears. Yeah.
And did it heal the
Yeah, like he had after two sessions, he had 50% improvement, and now maybe even more. You know, there is still something. I guided him to homeopathy as well, but sometimes it's like journey. Yeah, so it's not completely maybe healed, but there is maybe 70% like improvement after first session.
And in the somatic. So do you mix those things somehow?
Yeah, I can mix it. So sometimes, depends how people come. If they have a bad back, sometimes I do massage, like whole body or like focusing on back and then cranio. Or I do cranio and then do somatic experiencing. And sometimes also I add therapy, like I'm playing kind of ideal mother or father, like so I'm be trying to heal a relationship with father and mother, because for me it's very basic for child have a nice relationship with parents, and there is a lot of trauma because something they're missing, and you know, a lot of people cry, and we try to add also like a mother father substance, because then it's influence also relationship usually. So we have a problem with partner, for example, but because of we had a bad mother or father.
Yeah, that affects you, bring that into the relationship with you. But on that topic, like, so you say in that you kind of take on the role of a better mom, let's say, or a better father figure or something. Is that like, isn't it in this neuro-linguistic programming that they kind of do the same in a way, that go back to the history or the event and they kind of try to change the scenario somehow?
I don't know exactly the technique of this therapy, but probably it is. Like it's a little bit my invent, or like I do it also with friend, and naturally it's came like it's just fit in this method, like replace like missing something what wasn't there, like I will play your role of the ideal mother or like ideal father, and I will tell you what you need, or I give you a hug which you didn't get from mother, you know, and a lot of people cry, but this is primary things which needs to be healed.
I'm curious, like, why are you doing this? I mean, this must take a lot of your energy and your You need to be always somehow, I don't know, engaged in this, you know?
Because I see sense in it. I see, you know, I'm very compassionate, or like empathetic also to people like suffering. I think it's a lot of suffering. And I just, it's part of my journey, or, you know, like going through my stuff and healing others. I'm learning also with each client, like about, because healing is possible, but obviously searching my own trauma, like lead me to focusing on healing others. So like same like psychologists go to study psychology because the person wants to understand himself or herself. So that's natural, like we...
So you're healing yourself in a way through healing others?
I think so. And also it's big good karma, like karma, it's like good impact for your like future. And I love touch, you know, and it's something what satisfied me more than creating some advert for some product, you know.
But it's I know that you when you were in England and you were getting into this, you were going to some festivals, like hippie festivals or
yes,
where you were doing some healing there, right?
Yeah. So now festivals are closed, unfortunately, because of COVID, but I did it like maybe 8 or 9 years. Like whole summer season in England has a lot of festival, music festival, Buddhist festival, nature festival. It's like part of English culture, like spent summer around tent and music stages. So I went like bigger one, like Glastonbury, which been cancelled again. And because I like music and it's beautiful, like free atmosphere around people. And we have a like healing field. Usually there is like few healers, or like Glastonbury, maybe 300, because it's a quarter of a million of people. And people like have a bed back and they have also health issue, and it's cheaper. So it was great experience and a lot of fun. I met amazing people. It's hard work because it's a lot of rain in England and and mud, and but atmosphere, it's always like amazing.
So people are going to watch rock and roll, and then they come and have a healer fix their back a little bit in between shows.
Yes, exactly. Or like painful leg from standing and like this.
That's great. That sounds good. And then you, when we were talking before, you mentioned something that you've been looking into some psychedelics and things like that. And is sorry if I'm ignorant, but this ayahuasca, is that, isn't that kind of psychedelic?
I don't know if we call it psychedelic. We call it also like nature medicine, because ayahuasca, it's tribal medicine, belong to South America. And it's something like drinking coffee in some country, because they give it to children and it's part of the culture. And it's plant-based medicine, same like cactus, for example, San Pedro. And I am aware this can be like really great guidance from through your stuff also. Sometimes not easy, but it can be amazing helper to go through your trauma, stress, anything.
But is that something that you have used in your treatments, or it's something you used personally for yourself?
I use personally for myself, but also I did some session with San Pedro, which is quite of easy medicine, opening heart chakra with people. So I can, even I'm able like support people during this journey. Because
and what does it, why would I do this? Why would I go and have a South American plant-based medicine? What will that do for me?
Well, depends which plant you will have, because it's so many psychedelic, like, you can have a LSD, you can have a MDMA, you can have a DMT, which is extract from ayahuasca, or like some cactus. So depends what you are focusing on. Like ayahuasca, for example, it's not sometimes easy. It can bring you to fear. the opportunity, it's like you can go deeper in yourself and process emotion, and it can give you some wisdom or like more view at the situation which you are not aware. So for example, if you search about something, like some stuff, because we all have an emotion, you are not clear about guidance, what to do, how to approach to life, you can get this experience. Yeah. But for me, it's more therapeutic like experience than like have a fun, because ayahuasca sometimes it's not just fun.
No, but I guess that, you know, like the MDMA is that it's the same chemical that is in ecstasy, for example.
Yes.
And I mean, ecstasy for most people is it's a party drug or a lifestyle drug. But I'm just curious a little bit, like, so let's say that I would do ayahuasca treatment. What would be a typical person who needed that? Like, because you say you can go deeper in yourself, you can process more, but like what? Like childhood trauma, or like if I was attacked as a teenager or something, like, or maybe I had an accident, or what would it be?
Like, I think it's different people like coming to the session, but usually people who looking for searching some truth inside themselves. They mm-hmm. want to know something more about themselves. They're searching for direction. They want to process some emotion, you know, so they decide to go for this session. But sometimes it's not just paradise. Sometimes it can bring like difficult things, but then it's important to have somebody looking after you, you know. I think like each session has to be done with supervision, and you know, you can get, you maybe you need a hold of somebody or like support, you know, and it's very difficult to do it your own. Like,
yeah, but I'm just because I have this one friend who did this a few times, and you know, he had this attention disorder, he had a hard time concentrating, his kind of lifestyle was a little bit messed up, you know, both food, sleep, and these kind of things, and he had a really hard time getting anything done.
Mm-hmm.
So he went for this, and he came out feeling much better. His head was more clear somehow, and mm-hmm. and so on. So I'm just, yeah, I was just curious what type of problems people would be having that would bring them there, and yeah.
Some people are even curious, you know, they just want to experience, and some people, they don't have any so much experience, you know. Sometimes like plant decided you're ready or not. Like, for example, I have first ayahuasca session when I have some trauma, and it was very difficult, you know, and I didn't want to repeat it. But now I think it's just huge, huge universal wisdom, you know. Because it changed something, opening conscious. We know that brain we use in just few percent, yeah? And there is like huge subconscious connecting with our relatives, like family, family pattern, and maybe even past life, you know, which I believe, like we experience like many lives. So there is something much, much beyond than just what we experience with now, you know.
But these, like, also this, like this MDMA and this, what's it called, DMT.
Mm-hmm.
Is that microdosing, or how do people use this then for this purpose? I mean, how?
People can use microdosing. I haven't done it. But classical way, they will take few dosage. So, for example, MDMA, yes, it's party drug, but it's also been used for like war trauma, like for soldier, which are really like deprived because it's a lot of death, and they don't experience any sense of pleasure and love. And it is very difficult to heal it, like give. When you see a lot of death and your friends being killed, like how you can. So these substance basically change your chemistry.
Yeah, stimulates the serotonin, brain.
And suddenly you feel very compassionate. And so it had been used also for couple therapy and this war trauma. And now they're going to research anymore. I saw even in Czech there are like clinics specialized now. But it's still on edge, you know, of illegality. Unfortunately, because, you know, if we take alcohol, it's a legal drug and it's quite a lot of alcoholism in Czech.
Yeah, if you take sugar, it's also a legal drug.
Yeah, and coffee, how much coffee. And these things, for some reason, has been legalized. We had one famous Czech psychiatrist, Stanislav Grof. He experimented a lot of with LSD. And then he emigrated to USA and he did a lot of researches and helped like people who dying of cancer, and he gave them some small dosage of LSD. And these people who been already before that, they experienced like big peace, you know, and acceptance of the death. So then they forbidden this and he developed like holotropic breathing technique, which can have a similar effect, you know.
But you've done some more. I mean, like you're also been doing some detox therapies and stuff like that, right?
When I was in India, which I've been 3 times, I've been also around Bali and Sri Lanka and Thailand.
Always seeking some spirituality.
Yes, and traveling because I love culture. I did amazing program called Ayurvedic program, three weeks, Panchakarma, which is like detox for like 3 weeks when they massage you every day. They try to balance doshas, energy in the body, with Ayurvedic doctor. They give you enema with oil. You sometimes even vomit and you cleanse digestive tract, and I have to recommend it. It's just amazing healing method of the body. And obviously, if you clear your body, your mind get also better.
I used to go for these enemas myself, just for fun, actually, because when I lived in Copenhagen, then you could basically walk in off the street into a really nice clinic, and you could pay them, I don't remember what it was, it was like 2,000 Czech crowns, like $100 or something like that. And and then you got this room and they set you up on this chair, and then you were there for 45 minutes basically getting cleaned from the inside with water.
And then
they gave you probiotics afterwards, and it was really professional. And I remember I even bought their t-shirt, and the sensation was actually great, because you felt lighter and you felt I felt different, you know.
Fantastic. Yeah, it's also a lot of clinic here, like, but Ayurveda, for example, using oil for cleansing intestine, they say like water kind of dry you. So they more nourish things with oil. But yeah, it's amazing. Just done something for the body.
Yeah, I need to find one of those here in Prague somewhere. I'd love to. You had some more. I mean, you're kind of like a witch, right?
Yeah, I will consider myself like white witch.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Yeah, but because in some way you're taking a lot of different things that you have, because you've been seeking like your whole life in a way. You were seeking connection when you were a teenager, and you found it in the witnesses. Then you found out, okay, that's not the right thing for me. So you went out of there, and then you went into those different therapies. You went to England because you wanted to improve your skills and open your mind. And then you traveled all around the world, a lot of different places. And you just came back from Egypt now, for example.
Yeah, that was also an amazing experience.
Yeah, and it's interesting. It feels in some way that you've been gathering, if you could see me now, then I'm waving my hands. You've been gathering things from different places into some sort of a universe of healing that you then provide to the people that come to you and for yourself.
Of course, yeah, that's my journey. But, you know, I think I have like few direction, like I said to you, like I try to, because I love connection with nature, you know, it's really strong, and nature, it's healing. Just walking in the forest and living around tree, it's healing, and we don't need any psychotherapy, and there are birds. So I love also traveling and going in nature and art, for example, because now I'm doing singing and like taking class of theater improvisation. So I consider even art as a huge healing and journey.
How that, how is that? I mean, how, because you said this to me earlier when we were talking that that you you feel that creativity can be a tool to heal trauma or whatever you have.
Yeah, because you know, you have many kind of art. It can be fine art. You put something on the canvas or you do singing because it's develop opening. For example, when you do singing, you you work, you developing your voice. Yeah, you deepen your voice, you extend range of the voice, like you taking melody. So your voice naturally getting more pleasant for listener. And it's give you inner pleasure, like singing. It's very healthy way. Also, in point of chakra, it's opening your fifth chakra. You know, speech and like this, acting. It's, you know, not everybody. It's open for art, but it's good if we find some creative way. Maybe do furniture or like.
Basically, have a way of expressing yourself in some.
Exactly, exactly. Because we have all idea, which we inspiration and we. Putting this in creative way.
Yeah. That's why I started the podcast. Because I needed somewhere to let out my energy.
And it's amazing. Yeah.
Amazing. It's a great podcast. I love it.
Yeah. Me too.
So, yeah. And on this, I mean, like on this whole journey of yours, I mean, and this healing, in some way you're healing yourself through healing others.
Yes, but also I need my resources because sometimes when you are a healer, it's also heavy. You feel like kind of responsibility for people, you know, like now I'm working. I have a like lady who's 37. She had three times cancer and, you know, so you need to resource yourself. Like each therapist needs to be have a nice, pleasant experience and get energy because you're dealing with kind of sadness. So, you know, it's amazing, but I'm taking also other things which make me happy, like nature and singing and theater. And now I'm
yoga.
Yoga also, like I did Kundalini yoga teacher training. We're working with breath, breathing. It's very important. And now I'm planning to paint picture from Egypt, you know, like huge inspiration because I haven't painted with oil long time. But I saw amazing motif in tombs and pyramids and museums.
So and how was the energy there for the witch?
Amazing. Yeah. I was crying in the temple, like Karnak temple, which is in Luxor.
Yeah.
And it's like the temples are 5,000 years old, maybe more.
Yeah.
And all it's like, it's amazing. Like statue and relief. It's still careful. It's just incredible. Each temple has a like guide, so they go with you to secret places. I'm very sensitive to energy, so I felt energy coming from the wall. I felt in some way I live in Egypt. I can't explain why I'm feeling this, but I feel very connected to Egyptian culture. And luckily, like Muslim religion destroyed. So I recommend it was the temples were incredible for me. Yeah. Like I wish to stay maybe few weeks and just meditate because it's like nature. It's amazing.
But if you look at those buildings, just curious now, who do you think built them? Do you think they were built by people?
Some people say by aliens.
Yeah.
I don't know really, but it was very advanced culture because they have amazing astrology, like mythology, you know, gods. Like I saw Tutankhamun treasure, you know, it was young pharaoh who was, who died age of 18 and wasn't wrapped. And like everything was with gold and just they tried to protect pharaoh for next life. So really decorated all tombs with gold and painting. And for them was very important prepare person for next life. That's what they believe it, you know.
So yeah. It's I don't know. I'm it's interesting how they these if you look at those pyramids and the tombs and all these things that were done there. I mean they I think we would even struggle today to build some of it. And yeah, they seem to have been able to do this.
That's miracles of the words.
Mm. The people who are coming to you now, are you getting any people who are, I don't know, dealing with anxiety or depression due to COVID? Or do you see, is there something in your practice or in your healing that where you see like, oh, this is changing or this is different? Or are people coming talking about different things or something? Do you notice it somehow?
They're coming with same usually problem which they have before. But behind there is, for example, client tell me like he's all the time in home office and they don't move and they missing like company. Or I have this girl with cancer and she's expat and she came here and she can't make so many friends because everything gets locked down. It's very difficult to socialize. So I think it's impact a lot of people. And even some people are very scared to get COVID, so they don't come for therapy, you know, because they have old parents. And so we all been affected in some way, you know.
Yeah. But you don't see any more specific cases as such. It's more that it's there in the background. It's kind of like buzzing in the
collectively
background.
And around my friends, I see it's huge trauma because we've been separated. We've been put kind of isolation. Mm. And it's very unnatural, like shut people inside four walls and ask them not to move and wear something on their face all the time. So for me, it's a little bit against humanity. Like, you know, I have my own theory around COVID. I think it's more...
Yeah, what's that?
Well, I more think like we have to increase immune system. Yeah, and now even we have... there are some medication for it. I think the exaggeration, there is a virus, but massive impact of economy... there is in England research, there is more suicidal, for example, loneliness. That's other backside. Yeah. So it's a lot of my friends, they had a COVID, you know, some very weak, they have a one day fever and some they stay like 3 weeks in the bed, but like all they recover and probably they won't get it. But like, all this stop life. I just don't see it like healthy way how to deal, like lock somebody, you know. I'm more like increasing immune system with nature product and
Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like it's especially here. I mean, obviously I don't live in other countries, but I guess it's the same thing because right now, what we have done is that we've taken a bunch of people, young people, healthy people, or people that could be healthy. They're often well-educated. They have a high income. And we lock them up at home and we make them super scared so that they only go out with a mask. They don't breathe fresh air. They don't get sunlight. And they order fast food to their home. So they're kind of killing themselves from the inside. Yeah. At the same time, the risk group, the vulnerable, are working in the supermarket. They're driving the buses and the trams and all that. So it's for me, it's a very ironic thing, and it's fear-based. And you can't bring out a conversation about increasing vitamin D levels. And for me, it's so obvious. We should just have closed off those vulnerable and treated them really nicely, given them financial support, whatever they needed. And allowed the rest of us to get on with it. And then when you say this to a young person, they say, oh, we don't know the long-term effect. That person is maybe holding a plastic bottle that they have no idea what the long-term effect of drinking from that bottle every day. They will maybe get cancer in 20 years. They don't give a shit about that. So it's a brainwash. It's a fear-based brainwash.
Yeah, exactly. And it's leading to, basically, they will try to push people to vaccinate.
So that they make millions.
It's a huge control of the population, and I think it's very, very unusual because it's affected like whole world. For example, Egypt, when I came from now on holiday, it wasn't even easy to go there because test and coming back, and some people had a problem even at work, like go out, you know, so they want to suck them from work because they came to Egypt. But in Egypt, there is not this trauma, like there is a COVID. but they've been affected in tourism. So it's like kind of
it affects them in a different way.
Yeah, so there is a like massive. I saw like a lot of aggression around selling because
they need it.
They need to like sell desperately. They didn't.
Yeah, we'll be paying the price of this circus for years. I mean, it's going to be a lot of people, a lot of children that have lost education, social development, education, and a lot of people are being abused in their homes now. They can't go anywhere. And we'll be paying for this for years. You will have a lot of customers over the next 20, 30 years.
Yeah. I want to say, like, I didn't mention before, but what helping me right now, I have a cat for she's 5 months. I have been having her like 3 months. And I think at least if people have like animals now, it can help.
Yeah.
Dogs or like cat, you know, it's really like healthy way how to deal with isolation and some contact.
Yeah. I mean, my beautiful dog is here on the floor sleeping peacefully.
Mm-hmm.
And she has definitely made a big impact during this weird time. I think I wanted also, because you're saying like one thing in this that if I look at this that you've told me now, then there is some sort of tendency in you to believe in some greater power. There is something more.
Mm-hmm. Like, I won't consider myself like Christian or Hindu or Buddhist. Like, even I have a compassion for Buddhism and like some mystical things. I'm Scorpio with sign. And but I believe there is an intelligence in the universe. I don't know how to call it, but I believe in my philosophy, like what you create, you will get. So if you, for example, focus on some vibration and then you start to attract it. So if I think about create some business, I will talk about it. I will attract this energy. So basically, how are your thought and what you create, you will attract and you will develop. But also I believe there is a trauma inside us. So if we've been hurt, we attract like more hurts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's important, like to heal it.
But what happens when we die? Multiple lives?
I don't know, but I know some people. For example, my friends, he had an accident, and even my mother, who doesn't believe on anything, she has a clinical death when she was on operation, and she saw like some light, same like Murphy described in his book. And she saw like amazing like light and peace, you know, which a lot of people describe in like past life experience. And they sometimes hear some voice. They have to come back and finish something here. So that's, I don't believe particularly like if people have a problem and they committed suicide, it's particularly solution. Mm-hmm. It's usually damage other people's life and doesn't give any solution. We need to, in this life, we came with some purpose. Mm. Yeah, we have to find a purpose and we have to fill it and search for our destiny. But sometimes we do like wrong for many years because we don't follow our passion. That's very important, like follow what you are, what you connect, where is your heart. I believe also like connection with people, like open heart. It's very important. Like we are all connected with some energy and we need to heal it.
But a lot of this that you say now, like are the fundamentals of, let's say, Christianity, Buddhism, whatever, you know, Islam, any kind of religion in a way that it's about, you know, treating those around you in the right way, treating yourself in the right way, and then, yeah, to find that purpose, to find that fulfillment somehow, or that purpose that gives you fulfillment. And I'm just curious because, you know, it's like I'm looking at you from the outside. I don't really know you, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, yo, so, you know, Lenka has always been seeking this higher power somehow or looking for this purpose somehow.
Mm.
And that makes me ask you, have you found it, or are you going to continue to look?
I'm aware that like love is the highest things in the life, and we have to approach it, and we search in different way. Like some people can have a love to animals and they experience love to animals. Some they experience love to theater and they. So we all have an individual journey, but I believe like if you go on vibrance of passion, what connection, what you like, you living your truth, you are on right path. Yeah. But I think it's still process, you know. I realize something and something like I'm processing still. So it's life. It's not always like easy, you know. There are like conflict with people, and it's learning. And sometimes you fail, and sometimes you realize something. But I think
10 years from now, you're gonna be still healing people.
Yeah, I think it's my. It's even came in the psychedelic session or like medicine. You know, it's great, and I think I need to involve more art in my life. So I will do now painting and just want to put. For example, I'm working with my voice in singing lessons. So I want to do something with my voice. I don't know still what. I did some interview for radio, but I wasn't successful. But like it's other part of the creativity. Yeah, so
you could create a podcast.
Yes.
That's your own radio.
Okay.
Nobody can tell you what to do. Great freedom.
Oh, sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Thank
no,
you.
No, but it's interesting what you just said now in the last 2 minutes or 40 seconds is that, you know, it's singing, acting, yoga, healing. There is, like I said in the beginning, there are multiple sides to you somehow. You're like an onion. There is always a new thing, yes. New layer, you know?
Yes, I think I'm a little bit, my father is like this, you know, he's still active and very like diverse and, you know, it's quite fascinating like when you are like middle age and you discover like you can sing after like 1.5 years, you know?
Do you have time for all this?
Yes.
Do you have enough hours in the day?
Now it's, you know, it's not so much work. I will say not super busy because I'm freelancer. I'm not going a regular job, so I can arrange client how I want. So I appreciate. But if it's not COVID, I will probably travel, you know. I will. But like I'm trying to make a space for my singing and acting classes. But drawing will take more time for sure.
Yeah. So we're about to come to an end here, I think. What is it? I mean, you're doing your healing, you're doing your singing, the acting, the improv and that stuff. But is there any specific project that you're about to start now that will be... I know you have this hiking webpage, for example. Is that a new thing, or are you working on something new that is about to be ready now? Or
I'm rebuilding my website now, so with my web designer, so it's get improved like layout. I also want to edit some, because I did some drawing classes for architecture last year, but it hasn't been editing, so I'm looking forward when we finish, because the guy who's supposed to do it, he has some problems. So I think this...
What is that? So you say so architecture?
Yeah, I did course through Airbnb, like offering tourists. We go through the Prague and we draw architecture.
Yeah.
So like they be staying in Old Town Square and we learn to draw like, I don't know, you know, or like some towers and houses. It's like 2 hours, 3 hours course. So I did some recording, but he wasn't able still editing this. And I'm looking forward to do this Egyptian motif. I'm really looking forward to do it. And I'm quite creative, so I'm sure something will come up.
Yeah.
You know?
sounds like that.
Yeah.
Where can people see more about you? What are your web pages and that stuff?
So
I will have that also where I post the episode and all that, but just for people who are listening.
Okay, so I will say it in Czech. lecivi-hyphon.tech.cz and it will be in the end. lecivi-hyphon.tech.cz then lecení-traumatu.cz terapie-přijetím.cz That's about healing. And then I have a hiking mm-hmm. site, checkadventure.eu and learndrawing.eu.
There's so just five pages that you have
only
right now. And in case somebody would like to find you, what about social media? Do you have Instagram, Facebook?
Okay, so on Facebook I have quite a strange name because I like a different name. Lenka Lorien, Lakshmi.
What does Lakshmi mean?
It's Indian goddess of the prosperity. And my friends, he said, I can have a name like this because people change the name. I find it quite funny. Yeah. It'll be Lakshmi.
So Lenka Lorien Lakshmi.
Mm-hmm. Lakshmi. Or even Instagram, Lenka Lorien, they can find me. Mm-hmm. And even this website, they can text me or send mm-hmm. me message. Yeah.
Yeah, and if anyone has a problem finding her, you can always write to me or the show, and I can get you in touch. I think that's it. I mean, it's really interesting stuff that you're doing, and you have a very fascinating journey. And keep
Thank
going,
you.
Keep going. It's cool stuff, and
thank you very much.
Yeah,
I just hope the COVID craziness will be over someday and we can do things more.
Yeah, don't worry, it will like 4 or 5 more years and then we're good.
And thank you so much for this podcast, that was amazing.
Yeah, you're welcome. Guys, so those of you who like the show some love to me by giving me a review, on especially on Apple Podcast, because that helps other people finding my podcast. Follow the show so that you never miss a new episode. I have a Facebook page called The Bunker. How the hell did we end up here? There's an Instagram account called Bunker Prague or The Bunker Prague. And my personal accounts are Midlife Crisis Warrior. I'm on Twitter and Instagram. And thanks to the sponsors, Alfred Jobs and the Oat Bar. And yeah, I mean, you can listen to this on Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Podbean, a lot of different places. And share it with your friends, tell everyone about it. And if you know some cool people that are living in the Czech Republic or around Prague, let me know. I'm always looking for interesting people like Lenka to talk to. That's it. Have a good one. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.